be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us a recipe here for how that we can be in the presence of God, sanctified, holy, body, soul, and spirit, and preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord. It all has to do with, obviously, faith, but it has to do with being a positive confession, and it has to do with being able to see the good and not be swallowed up by the dark, but focus on what light there is. Don't be swallowed up by the evil or what's not right. Anybody can see what's not right, but you need to be solution-oriented, and you need to be focused on what is good. Somebody say praise God. And so here he says, in the midst of this, in everything give thanks. Now this is a somewhat outrageous statement if you have been in a time of trouble, or if you're currently in a valley of trouble or pressure. And you read that, and the cynicism in you might rise up and say, how am I supposed to give God thanks in the midst of this? But I challenge you to read Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2 and see Job losing everything, and his life is devastated, and he lifts up his voice and serves God perfectly and says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's an incredible thing. He becomes iconic in the Word of God. He becomes a signal for us as to how we should respond in a day of trouble. But if you can get that, Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you can find the joy, and you just got to find it anywhere you can. I was talking to a young person this week. I know you're standing, but I am too, so I don't care. We'll formally let you sit in a minute. But in talking to a young person about family dynamics and unpleasant things and trouble on this side or that side. And at the end of the conversation, I can't fix all that. I can't fix the friction and the trouble and the dynamics and the years of lack of investments or whatever caused the problems now. But the admonition was, find the joy where you can. There's something good going on around you somewhere. Find that and camp out there and lift up your voice and begin to, with your mouth, tell God how thankful you are. God bless you. You can be seated right now. And a few weeks ago, we were in a similar passage. And I just want to remind you of a few things here. We believe the Word of God. And it's interesting to me when the fields of science converge with the Word of God, and it's called a discovery. But self-help teachers, if they give you something that is dynamically true and functionally true, if they give you something that really, really works in your life and it endures, it's because they've touched classic truth, and all classic truth is rooted in the Word of God. But here's something from University of California at Davis, psychology professor Robert Emmons. He says, thousands of years of literature talk about the benefits of cultivating gratefulness as a virtue. It's no secret that stress can make us sick, particularly when we can't cope with it. It's linked to several leading causes of death, heart disease, cancer, and it claims responsibility for 90% of all doctor's visits. Gratitude, it turns out, can help us better manage stress. Gratitude is just being thankful. Praise God. Gratitude research is beginning to suggest that feelings of thankfulness have tremendous positive value in helping people cope with stressful situations or daily problems. Grateful people tend to be more optimistic, a characteristic that researchers say boosts the immune system. There are some interesting studies linking optimism to better immune function. This is a PhD from University of Utah. In one study, researchers comparing the immune systems of healthy first-year law students under stress found that by midterm, students characterized as optimistic based on survey responses maintained higher numbers of blood cells that protect the immune system compared with their more pessimistic classmates. How many of you have read Man's Search for Meaning? In that book, the psychiatrist who is in the death camp cannot escape his training, and he just begins to analyze and document everything that goes forth. But he finds out that people that live in the death camp live because they're able to get outside of themselves and project themselves. They have someone or something else to live for. What I'm telling you, selfishness is the spirit of our day. It's the spirit of our culture. But it will eat you alive like cancer eats you alive. Selfishness is the heart and soul of every corrupt thing. And if you remember the studies Sunday, the first two commandments, love God, love people, horizontal, vertical. If you can do those, Jesus said all of the law and the prophets hinge upon those two commandments. And love is not what you feel about God or what you feel about people. Love is what you do about God and what you do about people. Love is the basis for faithfulness, and love is the basis for service, and love is the basis for ministry and all of that. And all of that is oriented toward others. It's getting outside of yourself. But Jesus said these are the two most important commandments: love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Out of yourself and into others. And here, just an attitude of gratitude and a positive approach to life makes your body respond better to stress and to things that would compromise your immune system and in sickness. Now, we know that because the Bible says a good report maketh the bones fat. And that it is a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And so the scripture understands and precedes all of the studies from the Mayo Clinic and from Harvard and from all of these other studies that I might refer to tonight. They are all latecomers to the discussion. But the Word of God has already told you there is a peace that passes all understanding, and you can find it, but you can't find it in yourself. You got to get out of yourself, and you've got to begin to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You get into the presence of God by being thankful. Now, I know you've been hurt, but if you sit on a stump and you suck your thumb and that hurt dominates your life and your thoughts and your relationships, you'll never grow beyond the shadow of that. And so you've got to break free from that. And in the middle of that pain, begin to count your blessings, name them one by one. Well, praise God. And immediately you begin to have a better experience in life, access to God, because you can't bring your complaining into the presence of God. That's not the doorway to the presence of God. We enter into His courts with thanksgiving, enter into His gates with praise. Praise God. Optimism has also a positive health impact on people with compromised health. If you are already sick, in separate studies, patients confronting AIDS, those preparing to undergo surgery, had better health outcomes when they maintained attitudes of optimism. When they're expecting something good, when they're able to see something good, it affects your physiology. Isn't that amazing? It's not so amazing because you are essentially a spiritual being. And when your spirit is corrupt, it corrupts your body. But when you get your spirit in shape, it helps your body. Even though your body is still Adamic and still slowly dying, your body functions better and is in a better condition when you are in better shape with God spiritually. Somebody say amen. Grateful teens are happier, according to a study presented at the annual meeting of the American Psychological Association. Researchers found that teens who are grateful in the study, defined as having a positive outlook on life, are more well-behaved at school, more hopeful than their less grateful peers. I can guarantee you, the people that are burning Ferguson, Missouri tonight are not thankful people. And I'll guarantee you, if they're out burning stuff, they're not getting up in the morning going to work. Because people that get up and go to work, they say, you know, this is great, but I got to go home. You feel a little tense about those comments. Grateful high schoolers have higher GPAs. It makes you smarter to be thankful. Pessimism and looking at the negative is a drag on your on your cognitive skills. Now, we're going to do a little exercise tonight, but here's something. Writing down what you're thankful for as you drift off to sleep can help you get better rest, according to a study in the journal Applied Psychology. Well, I can go better than that. The Word of God says that, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand as an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." He said, "You shall find rest unto your souls." Praise God. The closer you get to God, the more you can see those things that you are thankful for, the better rest you have in your body. Praise God. Are you okay? They're ready. They're ready to be thankful. I'm going to move out of the way. I have lots of studies that we could rehearse here tonight. But it's an amazing thing. All of these studies are saying, without saying so, because they never would, but every one of them are attesting to the fact that God was right all along, that the Word of God is right in everything that it says. So we'll just take you in order of your seating. Just come on, Sister Gail. She's going to be thankful tonight. Now, look, thankfulness is a skill set. Grumpiness is a skill set. You learn to be grumpy by either being modeling after grumpy people or being around grumpy people. So you kind of learn or absorb a culture. And that may not have been your fault when you were a grumpy 8-year-old, but if you're a grumpy 40-year-old, that won't work anymore. You got to get past that and over that. So just like you can develop muscle memory or muscle skill or strength in some area, you can build skill sets in almost any area. And thankfulness is a skill set to begin to work on that. And something we're doing tonight, we're just asking these folks, just tell us what you're thankful for. And as they are, I want you to begin to think about what you're thankful for. Because if your days are dominated by all that is wrong, you're going to be miserable. You're probably going to get sick. You're not going to be good company. You're going to be a miserable resident of the house, and the people that are living with you are sad that you're so grumpy. You need to learn to be thankful. Everybody say praise the Lord. Let's give God some thanks right now. Just pick some random thing that you're thankful for and tell God about it right now.
Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I am thankful for my job. I was not thankful for my job until I came to this church. I worked at my job for 6 years, disliking it very much because I didn't stay busy enough. I still don't stay busy enough. But since I started coming to this church, God gave me time to read his word, and I listened to sermons. So I have found thankfulness for my job."
Praise the Lord, church. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Psalms 105, 1 through 3. I'm thankful for so much. I'm thankful, first of all, for God calling me out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for Pastor Sutton, who teaches God's word unadulterated. I'm thankful for my husband and our children. I'm thankful for every time God healed my children or healed me. I'm thankful for his mercy that's renewed every day. I'm thankful for the elders here at the church, everybody who's just a great example and who shows us, you know, the way. I'm so thankful. I was thinking about, just thinking over my life a lot this week. And when I think about who I used to be maybe 10 years ago and think of who I am now, I'm just so grateful because I know it's because of God, it's because of His Word, it's because of His Holy Spirit living in me. And without Him, you know, I just don't know where I would be. So I'm just thankful that He loves me.
Psalms 101, 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter to his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. And bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth all generations. I'm thankful for a praying church. It was times when, like when I was 20 years old, I made a deal with the devil when I joined the Masonic order. And I'm thankful for a praying church, but because of that, it was one day when I was working in a place like Home Depot. It was called Home Quarters. I see now that it was a visitation. A guy came out of nowhere, and I had this big old Mason belt buckle on, and he came out of nowhere, and he was telling me, that is of the devil. That is not you. You need to get rid of that. And I'm thankful for somebody praying for me that happened. I'm thankful for when I had my car accident, that somebody was praying. I'm thankful that the many times that I went out there and did foolish things, that somebody was praying. I'm thankful that this day that I'm standing in here with my family. I'm thankful that when I didn't know how to pray, somebody was praying for me, but now that I know how to pray, that just last week, I was a hair from being in a bad accident on 65. This guy came up behind me, and he was flying, and he jerked right and then took a hard left. And it was just by the grace of God that he didn't send me into a tailspin. I'm thankful for my children. I ask them all the time, you know, how was school? What did you do? What's going on? And Dominique gave me something that made me feel good, that let me know that what I'm doing and what we're doing is good, because he was asked, who would you want to dine with? And a lot of children said Jay-Z, they said Michael Jordan, they said Kobe Bryant and all these other guys. But my son said Jesus, Moses, and the guys in the Bible. So that let me know that we're doing the right thing. And I'm thankful that I'm standing here and that their water, Jesus' name, washed all their foolishness away. And I'm no longer held by any of that. I'm thankful.
Praise the Lord, church. I have Psalms 95, 1 through 3. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. I'm thankful for a variety of things. I've been in the church now for 7 going on 8 years. And the life I lived before coming here was would have definitely sent me to hell, and I didn't even know it.
I'm thankful for God's faithfulness and his mercy and not taking me out before I even knew the truth. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for our pastor and the investment he makes in each and every one of us, the teaching and preaching of the word of God. Thankful for all the saints. I'm thankful for my family, my wife that brought me to the church. I'm thankful for our children. Thankful that God knew what was best for me and knew how to guide me and where to take me. I was born in Mobile, never planned on living in Birmingham a day in my life. Got an idea to go to law school somewhere, and there are no law schools in Mobile. So I ended up here in Birmingham, and I thought it was just to get a law degree, and I was going back to Mobile, and God had another plan. He had a much better plan. I've told Deborah before, if someone would have told me I would be living in holiness and righteousness and by the standards of the word of God 9 years ago, I would have laughed them out of the building. Like, I wouldn't live like that. Why would I want to live like that? But I'm kind of like, I just read the other day, Henry Ford said, if I had asked the people what they wanted, they would have said a faster horse. So I would have wanted a faster horse, but he gave me a limousine. So I'm so thankful for the word of God and for his keeping power and his delivering power, his healing power. He's healed our children. He's healed our bodies. He's done so much in our lives, and I can't thank him enough for saving us and for keeping us. Just this past year, or this year, I turned 33. My mother died at age 33, so I have now lived longer than my mother lived on this earth. And no one gave us the truth. No one in our family provided truth to us. We lived as heathens. But God had a plan for us, and I thank him for his mercy.
Praise the Lord, church. Oh, well, I have Psalms 136, 1 through 3. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. I am very thankful and blessed that God is merciful. And I'm sitting here thinking, the summer of 2005, I was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And his mercy has kept me. And his mercy has taught me, and he hasn't let me go. And it's so warming and just awesome to know that God is with you all the time. And he is teaching. And, you know, I had a gentleman approach me, and with a very dogmatic approach. And he came to me and brought me this truth. And he is now my husband, but he brought me this truth. And I could have ran, and I could have went the other way, but something kept me in this, and something kept me going. And even through, whatever. So regardless of anything he throws at me, I know that, you know, God is just, he's just so awesome. And throughout, I mean, just when you receive the Holy Spirit, it takes time. And this, you know, every day is work, and every day it's good work. It's learning and learning holiness. And I mean, just because for us, everything got thrown at me kind of at once. And but I didn't run, you know, that I think I had the Holy Ghost before I knew I had the Holy Ghost. You know, I stayed in this thing and learned it and read about it. And I feel it every day. His mercy is just so awesome. And every time I pray, I ask, you know, teach me. You know, let me hear your voice. Let me talk to me, because I want to grow. I want to grow in this. And, you know, he's not through with me yet. So I thank him for that. So I'm very, very thankful and blessed.
I have Psalms 116 and 17. It says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. As everybody's going through their thankfulness tonight, I can only just go right along with them and tell them how thankful I am for the goodness of God. And I think tonight I look back, I'm really thankful for the love of God. I wasn't raised in a loving home. I wasn't raised around hugs and kisses. But Brother Sutton, I'm thankful that I'm in a church, that I'm learning how to raise my kids to love God, to love people. And so I would really just thank God for his mercy, his grace, his love. And I thank God for my pastor. I thank God that he knew I needed to be here. And it took me a long time to get here. But God never lets go of people. And I thank God tonight that he didn't let me go. I thank God that he didn't give up on me. I thank God that even when I backslid, he was still there. I thank God that when I was backslid, my wife would still tell me, come on. She would still tell me, you need to go to church. Even though, Brother Sutton, I would say, I don't feel God. Even though, Brother Sutton, I didn't feel God, he was there. He kept me alive. Multiple times I've had accidents. Multiple times he's kept me alive. So tonight I thank God for keeping me alive. I thank God for my pastor. I thank God for my wife. I thank God that I have two beautiful kids. And I thank God I have a church that I can raise them in this truth. Because this is the only way. This is the only way. And I thank God for all he's done. And I thank him for what he's doing. I'm thankful for what he's going to do. And I thank you.
I'm going to try to get through this without crying, because he just made me very emotional. But mine is Psalms 107, 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Everyone, most of us have said tonight that we're so thankful for the mercy of God, and I'm so thankful that no matter how deep the pit is that you're in, that God can get you out, that he can bring you out, and his mercy is so, so good. He is so faithful, and I'm thankful that I have a church family and a pastor and pastor's wife, and that I can bring my family to the house of God, and that they can learn and they can grow, and we can just be everything that God wants us to be. And I'm so thankful. He is so good to us. And there's so many things I can stand here and tell you that I'm thankful for. He's healed my babies. He's my husband's here tonight, and that's just an awesome testimony. I have a testimony. I'm thankful that I have a testimony, that I never had to leave this truth, that I've been raised in it, that I have never had to go out into the world and be anything that I can look back and have to say, you know, why did I do this? Why was I just so stupid? But I'm just thankful that God kept me and that he is a keeping God. And I'm so thankful that I can just stand here and be in the house of God with all of you.
Praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalms 97 and 12. I'm thankful for God's unconditional love, his grace, his mercy. I'm thankful for family and church family as well. As many of you know, that my sister was almost killed in a car accident in May, and we didn't know if she was going to live or die. But thank God that he saved her, and she's alive today, and that she's coming to church, and she's wanting to know God. I'm thankful for each and every one of y'all, because God knows that I would not have been able to make it without y'all. Just thank you.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Psalms 92, 1 through 2. I'm thankful for everything, all of God's blessings that he's given to me. I'm thankful for my family, for my husband, my children, my parents who raised me in church. I'm thankful for this church family. I'm thankful for my pastor, his wife. Thankful for their example. I'm especially thankful for our church family, for all of you. This past year, I went through one of the hardest trials that probably I've ever gone through. And when I think back, the most miraculous thing about it was not God saving my life, because even though I'm not a perfect individual, I would have probably went to heaven, hopefully. But I think the most miraculous thing was the fact that the church family and the people that God used to tell me what was going to happen. And when I was going through the trial, I didn't understand what was happening. And I even called Brother Sutton in the middle of it and said, "What is going on? Can you please tell me, you know, what's happening in this?" You know, I've had so many prophecies and so many things have come, and but God used so many individuals in this church, and in the end I saw exactly what God was doing in the whole thing. And I think the main thing is that as a part of the body, we feel what our members feel. And I think it was about four people that came to me at different times and told me different things. And I guess one of the things that I'm trying to say here is that just continue to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and be the body that God called you to be. Every part of the body, you're all important. Somebody's an arm, somebody's a head, somebody's the eyes, but you don't know the strength that you lend to people when they're going through trials. And if I would have, you know, I think that everything that we go through, I probably would have, you know, even if I wouldn't been in church, I'd have probably gone through the same trial, but I don't know what the outcome would have been without the warnings, you know, the things that people tell me. And if you don't know the story, I can tell you later. I just didn't want to go into detail, you know, over the pulpit. But, you know, God is just so faithful, and he gives us a little bit of himself in each and every one of us. he imparts characteristics of himself in us. And then it's our job to let it flow and to touch other people and to minister to them. And I am so thankful for you tonight, for every person in this body. That some people are out there cooking, some people are out there ministering and prophecy and tongues and interpretation, and every part of the body is important, and I'm so thankful for you.
Psalms 106 and 1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And I'm thankful for all kinds of things tonight. Thankful for the nice car I drive, my beautiful house, and all the money I have. I'm thankful that I'm in an environment that nobody got up and listed the material things that they have. But I've heard fathers say, I'm thankful for my wife and for my children. I've heard mothers say, I'm thankful for my children. I'm in an environment that prioritizes the important things, the things that actually are important. Of course, I'm thankful for my wife. I think God saved my life with my wife. He knew what he was doing. I came here for a 2-week visit. I was living in California and I wasn't doing well. I'm not even going to try not to cry. I'm just going to tell you I'm going to cry like a baby. And I came here to visit my aunt and my uncle, and they told me I could stay. And every day they asked God why they said that I could stay. I actually have been told on more than one occasion that he still has my return plane ticket in his desk drawer. So I came here and I was talking to a young man Sunday about my experience when I walked into church, and I just felt the presence of God. And I knew down deep past my retarded teenage mind and my stupid, callous, broken, wounded, emotional heart, there was something at my very core that said, I can be saved if I can be here. I can be made whole if I could be here. And I said, I got to do this. And then I looked around at all the weird rules that you had. And I came from a Christian home. But there were all these weird rules that I wanted no part of. And God knew what he had to do, so he sweetened it. He said, I'll give you eternal life and salvation. And look, I got a wife for you. And he knew what he had to put on the hook to keep me here. And there were many times when I said, I'm going, that's it. I'm packing up and I'm going back to California because I can do whatever I want to do there. And this is hard and this is rough. But God knew what I needed to keep me here. And I knew if I could stay in his process, that at some point I would understand and it would make sense. And when I look at this scripture, he is good for his mercy endureth forever. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my son. I'm thankful for my aunt and my uncle, who are my pastor and my first lady, who opened their house. They brought me in. They put up with my foolishness. I lived with them for 5 years. I wore his suits to church and played basketball in his suits. He was walking to his car one day and he stopped and he looked at me. We were shooting around after church. He said, is that my suit? I was like, yeah. He's like, hey, how about you don't play basketball in my suit? But they opened their home to me. They put up with a lot of mess. And they were an example of God's mercy. And it does endure forever. I got the Holy Ghost when I was 3 years old. I spoke in tongues the first time when I was 3. I cannot tell you the stupidity and the foolishness that I have dragged the Holy Ghost through in the past 30 years. I've brought it places it just shouldn't have had to go. But it was down in me. And it kept me. And the mercies of God endure forever. Jeff, we're still here, brother. We're still alive. The mercies of... I'm not telling you what I think. Patrick, I'm not telling you what I think. I'm not telling you what my dad told me. Or what... I'm telling you what I know. The mercies of God endure forever. I sat up on this platform, Josh. You were playing the guitar. I was playing the drums. Daniel, you were singing. The mercies of God endure forever. And I thank God tonight. I know. I'm 33 years old. There's a whole lot in this world that is uncertain. And there's a whole lot I don't understand. But I tell you, I know that the mercy of God endures forever. Time and time again. Every time that I've turned around and I've walked out on God, He's been right there waiting for me with open arms. With open arms. With mercy. With grace. And He never kept a score. You see, every time I would walk away from God, and then I would say, okay, Lord, I'm coming home. I would keep the score, and I'd say, okay, if I can try to be a good Christian for 3 weeks, maybe Jesus will love me again. Because I was keeping score in my mind and in my heart. And my God doesn't do that. As soon as I turned around and I said to Him, hey, can I come home, please? Immediately, I was washed, I was cleaned, I was forgiven. And I thank God tonight that His mercies endure forever.
Praise the Lord, church. I will read Psalm 35:18. See, I will give the thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. This is the old English that I will speak because I'm instructed to speak in Spanish. Quiero darle las gracias a Dios esta noche. Tengo muchas cosas por qué darle las gracias a Dios, pero me voy a enfocar por lo que Él hizo por mí en la cruz. Dios murió por usted, por mí, por todos, para que tuviéramos salvación eterna, para que pudiéramos algún día llegar a estar con Él en el cielo, en heaven. Pero viendo mi vida para atrás y siendo aún recorriendo las vidas o lo que han estado diciendo esta noche aquí, quiero decirles que una y otra vez Dios estaba tocándome la puerta y hablándome, y uno por tonterías o porque uno es joven, uno quiere vivir en el mundo, pero este mundo, quiero decirles que no tiene nada bueno, porque allá afuera no hay nada. La verdad está aquí adentro, la verdad está en Dios, en su palabra. Yo, mi madre me decía que leyera la Biblia. Una y otra vez yo decía, eso es para gente vieja, para gente ancianos. Yo quiero vivir mi vida, pero no la palabra de Dios. ¿Cuántas veces me querían traer aquí o venir para acá, para Estados Unidos? Y yo no quería venir. En México estaba feliz, estaba contento con mis amigos, todo eso. Pero yo sé que Dios tenía un propósito, tenía un algo especial para mí. Y ese especial o esa cosa era conocer la verdad. Porque aún con raíces católicas, quiero decirle que yo creía que era salvo, que yo iba a ir al cielo, pero qué equivocado estaba, porque aún que es la tradición que mis padres o que mi familia me enseñaba, quiero decirles que eso no es la Biblia, porque nunca me hablaban de la Biblia, del amor que Dios tiene para uno, de lo que Dios tiene que hagamos, o que lo que Dios nos ha puesto para que podamos vivir una vida eterna. Quiero decirles, aquí estamos de paso, somos pasajeros. La vida, o lo mejor, es la vida eterna, que es lo que todos estamos buscando. Y esta noche le digo, así como todos tenemos testimonio, todos tenemos muchas cosas de que darle gracias a Dios, esta noche yo quiero darle gracias a Dios por su gracia, por su misericordia, por su amor, y por no, como Dawson estaba diciendo, aún cuando me he trompezado, aún cuando he caído, Él me ha levantado. Su mano, la mano de Dios está ahí para decirle, levántate y sigue. Le quiero darle las gracias a Dios por la iglesia, por los hermanos y por todos ustedes aquí que abrieron las puertas, por un pastor que nos enseña, que nos predica la verdad. Le digo, estamos aquí escuchando la palabra de Dios, la palabra de Dios que es vida eterna, es luz y es todo lo que necesitamos para poder llegar a Él. Y esta noche les digo, recordando mi vida y todo lo que está haciendo, yo sé que es la mano de Dios que nos mantiene y que nos tiene aquí. Y una vez más quiero darle gracias a toda la congregación, a todos los hermanos viviendo a 1,000, 2,000 o cientos de millas away from my family. You know, I've been living away from my family probably 3,000 miles away, but I'm so thankful for being in a church family, you know, que really I don't miss all my family. I can see my family right here, you know. I just want to say thank you to God for all what He has done for me. Look, y lo que va a hacer y lo que va a seguir haciendo en nuestras vidas. Y si usted está aquí, no es por una casualidad, es la mano, es la gracia de Dios que lo tiene aquí. Thank you y God bless you.
Psalms 140 and 13 says, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. The first thing I thought about in being thankful was 31 years. I wish that was my age, but but that's how long God has been since God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I was thinking when Brother Terrell was talking about how Birmingham was the last place he ever thought he'd end up. And when I joined the Army, I figured the other side of the world was the last place I'd ever end up. But yet I ended up in Berlin, Germany. And I didn't really understand why at the time, obviously. Of course, that's at the height of the Cold War and communism. And Berlin wasn't like the rest of Germany. It was basically almost like a prison, you know, a wall all the way around. But in that environment, God chose to bring me into an apostolic truth, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I knew about the Holy Ghost, but I didn't really understand it. And baptized me in Jesus' name in a bathtub. You know, it didn't matter, I was covered. But in that environment, I learned to worship and praise God. We lived every day. We woke up every day wondering, you know, could this be the day that the communists shoot some nukes? Or, you know, we used to talk about, you know, they just put a sign on the wall saying prisoner of war, you know, because where else were we going to go? But I learned to praise God in the middle of all of that. And the church that I became affiliated with, I stayed in that church for almost 7 years. And the last thing my birth pastor told me when I walked out of that church, he said, Brother Dan, don't ever let anybody or anything steal your praise, steal your joy, your worship. And for 31 years, the only thing I've ever known is to praise God with all my might, with all my heart, with all my soul, all my strength. And in that, I've learned two things, two scriptures that have always stuck with me are, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I've known it through the years. I've seen God carry me through dry times and hard times and, you know, just, you know, through things that, you know, even when I was somewhat backslidden, you know, I would still find a way to come in and worship God. I'd ask God to forgive me, and somehow, I don't know how, I just felt like God was still worthy, no matter what state I was in. God's still worthy of praise. And I discovered it even more over the last year, how much God's strength can be found in worship and praise. And I thank God that He's always kept me. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And in my dedication to praise and worship, you know, I read the scripture about how David worshiped with all his strength, all his might. And I've always just had that mindset. I can't give God any less than what I feel is my best. And God has blessed me with that. He's blessed me with two beautiful children who are in church loving God. He's blessed me with, you don't have to look far and look in the news and see how many things that we are so blessed with. I hear people talking about, you know, we have these first world problems. But, you know, we really don't have a lot of problems that, you know, should be getting us down. But God is able to take us through it all. God is able to supply every need, and he's done that over the years. He's always taken care of me. And, you know, I thank God for this church. I thank God for a home, for a family. You know, the church has always been my family. All the churches I've ever been in, God said he would give me more. I gave up my family. I left my home in Pennsylvania to be where the word of God was. And he's never, never let me down. Just like he told Peter, if you've left it all, he said, I'm going to do it in this life. He's going to reward you 100-fold in this life, and he's done that to me. I see 100-fold out here of my brothers and my sisters who've been there to strengthen me and encourage me. And I'm just so thankful to be here. I'm so thankful that I could bring my family up in a church that preached truth and that they could learn to love God and worship God. And, you know, I had 31 years of thankfulness, and I could go on. But, you know, God, I just want to say I love God, and I thank him for you. I thank him for my pastor. You know, he's been there with me and helping me. You know, when I didn't know what to do or where to go, my pastor's always been there. And I'm so thankful for a man of God who cares about me as an individual. I'm so thankful. And, you know, I never thought I'd, well, when I was in Germany, I never thought I'd see the year 2000, let alone come to 2014. And I don't know if I ever thought I'd ever see grandchildren, but, you know, God's blessed me again. And Lord willing, in 9 months, I'll see a grandbaby. So how can I not worship God? How can I not thank him? How can I not love him and give him my all? He's been my all. He's been everything to me, and I just love him.
Let's just lift our hands and magnify him and thank him right now. Would you do that? Praise God. Stand together. If you've got family here with you tonight, come on down around the altar together. If you don't have family, adopt somebody, get with somebody, and just say, I'm going to be with you tonight. But come on down around this altar. And let's begin to give God thanks and praise and magnify him. All that you're thankful for, begin to just let it pour forth. Just give him praise and magnify him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You might turn to somebody by you and just tell them what you're thankful for tonight. How good God has been to you. Come on down close. Nothing bad will happen. Come down close. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to thank you, Lord. Come on, praise him. Open your heart. It'll make you healthier. It'll make you smarter. It'll make you better looking. It'll help your house. Come on. I want to thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I just want to thank you, Jesus.
I just want to thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Just lift up that thanks. Lift up that praise.
Thank
I just want to take a little time right now. Praise God. Just let that come up from the depth of your heart. From the depth of your heart. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, from the bottom of my heart. I thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's going to be a great Thanksgiving week. Good time of family, fellowship. May God bless you and just cover you up, make your cup run over, load you down with benefits. Before you leave the house tonight, I want you to spend a little time with one another and just tell folks how much you appreciate them and thank them for their testimony or whatever it is, how thankful you are to be a part of the house of God. God bless you. Be sure to pray for the church family that's traveling. And we love you. We'll see you Sunday morning. Now, we don't have Sunday evening service this coming Sunday. Lord bless you.